B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Jimmy, Podcasts.
Jimmy.
Hi, Mike.
I have to interrupt you because okay. I'm just so furious right now at this jackass, Keith Olbermann. And I don't even know why this guy decided to chime in on his Twitter yesterday, or over the weekend, rather, on the Fox Saturday Major League Baseball game of the week there. The Cubs were playing the St. Louis Cardinals, and a special guest in the broadcast booth to promote the new Friday Night SmackDown was Braun Strowman, who is a larger-than-life figure. Keith Olbermann, this punk, goes right to his Twitter and says, "You guys are kidding, right?" with the picture of Braun Strowman right there. So Olbermann, rightfully so, gets attacked by Braun Strowman in a sarcastic way. Strowman goes, "Yeah, I know, right? It's unreal how good I looked on the show today." And then he's starting to get some heat from this weatherman or whatever who, I don't know, is a stick-up guy or probably got paid off by Olbermann. The whole roster goes after this jabroni. Who the hell is this guy to go after Braun Strowman? You work for ESPN. You used to work for Fox. You bitter old man. People like this who hate professional wrestling, have a stick up their ass on it, can go pound sand. Keep your comments to yourself. Keith Olbermann, I'd use the two words, but I'm not allowed to, that DX says. You know what I'm talking about. That's what I got to say there.
Keith Olbermann still alive?
I know. I had to double check. I'm like, this guy still works for ESPN?
Well, so
ESPN's still a thing.
That's interesting to me because ESPN is a business partner by WWE. So part of Keith Olbermann's check that is paid to him is in part by WWE because they paid for the Roman Reigns ESPY Award, right?
That's right.
I wouldn't be shocked if we found out that they paid for some cover stories too.
I had to get that off my chest. It just bothered me the whole week.
No, it's okay. Like, come into like a house of fire, Mike. It's perfectly fine. At least you got me through the read. That's all I care about. I just need to do the read, and then we can kind of go from there. But I couldn't tell you the last time I cared about Keith Olbermann.
Maybe 1999.
I mean, 97-ish. You know, his Football Night in America stuff was mediocre at best. His political stuff was meh.
No. His political stuff sucks.
You know, Dan Patrick, that was SportsCenter 97, 98, 99, somewhere, you know.
Yeah, when SportsCenter was a thing.
Yeah, and Dan Patrick was driving that car anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Keith Olbermann, you washed up, jealous individual. Braun Strowman runs you, and WWE is about to run your ass off of TV, you old man.
Yeah. Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just peachy.
I know. So I think you know that Keith Olbermann is not on my Christmas card list. There you go.
No, and I didn't know he was still with us. and I mean that career-wise, obviously.
Yes.
So we'll start with TV stuff because that's kind of where you wanted to start.
Sure.
SmackDown on Fox starts soon. They're doing a draft, which we're going to do our own draft on next week's episode, which will be fun, a lot of fun.
Yeah, and this week will be the last Tuesday SmackDown. This is it.
Yep. And so I found it interesting that they already announced their first match for SmackDown, and it's Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston, we assume for the WWE Championship. If they announced it that way, I don't recall it, but they probably did.
Right.
To me, it's pretty clear Brock is winning the championship. And away we go with Brock Lesnar as the champion on Fox, the major mainstream, you can get it with rabbit ears, if that's still a thing, network. For me, it's really the lesser of two evils. Brock Lesnar as champion or Shane McMahon as champion?
Lesser of two evils.
Yes, because I think that there was a push for Shane McMahon to be the champion the first night. That's,
you think so?
That's not inside speculation. That was just a vibe.
No,
that at some point Shane McMahon was going to be the WWE champion.
Right.
And they're going to make a splash here. And it's too predictable that Brock's beating Kofi.
You should bet the house.
So it's and I felt like they were kind of building Shane as the guy to beat Kofi, but Shane, they might be backing off of Shane at the request of the network. But Brock Lesnar feels like a substitute for Ronda Rousey. And we go back to what I think the promise to Fox was Charlotte Flair, Roman Reigns, John Cena, Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
So Charlotte and Roman, no problems there. Brock Lesnar comes over for Ronda Rousey, just based on what we think is happening. And based on their promotional material, it looks like Becky Lynch is going to be on SmackDown as well.
Yes, it does.
So Brock Lesnar as the WWE champion. And by the way, this all probably points to what we thought was the main event, or at least what I think is the main event of WrestleMania in Tampa. And that's Brock versus Roman for the WWE Championship. Again, in what we think is going to be Brock's last fight. Again.
And yeah, and yeah, there you go. Two SmackDown superstars right there. Makes sense. I just, yeah, it didn't surprise me too much to have a match like this as a big splash. And I'm curious to get Joe Murray's odds on this next week when we have him on for the the draft preview. I'd like to see if he does have an odds for that Kofi Kingston and Brock Lesnar match there, because I think Brock has to be the heavy favorite, and he probably will win that match, Jimmy. I think that's the signs of it. And now without the any championships on the New Day, a chance for Kofi to reunite with them, maybe reinvigorate that or restart that tag team division in the SmackDown show. I think that's where we're looking at the direction here, because the writing is on the wall. Yes, Brock Lesnar is going to SmackDown. Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Roman Reigns, that's what it looks like as well. And also, you know, the guys for Raw, who is going to be on Raw here on out, we're really starting to see a clear picture here before the draft even does take place.
So I go to, would you rather have Brock Lesnar as the champion or Shane McMahon?
Brock.
Brock.
Are you kidding me? Without question.
Brock. Why? Brock is the clear answer.
Why do you want Shane McMahon as a champion? I mean, listen, Shane is a very
so
talented
I don't.
Guy. Yeah, I know, but why would anybody want that? Why?
Because
tell me one reason why.
Because it's a McMahon, and the McMahons always draw ratings.
No. It's okay.
I'm stating a fact.
You're right. They do draw ratings. It's an intrigue. But I think that's going to wear off after you have a very short.
You would have thought
show.
It would have worn off after 20 something years of the McMahons being on top. But Vince comes on TV, he pops a rating. Shane comes on TV, he pops a rating, because there's legacy and there's generational interest.
But I think for Shane McMahon, if he is going to be a champion, it's probably a month at the most. 1 month at the most.
But that's all that would realistically be all that they're looking for, is they would be looking for, oh, wow, Shane McMahon won the WWE championship. Holy cow.
Look at
and, oh,
Vince
by the way,
it.
He owns the company.
And yes, and look at when Vince won it. That was a huge thing. Then he turned it over. He had to, you know, give it up after that. So that was a big rating thing right there. It was a shock. Maybe it would just be a one-night thing, but I'm very, very happy with Brock Lesnar as the WWE champion if he were to win.
By the way, I think Vince sparked a rating for ECW when he won the ECW title there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
A little bit. Yeah. But ECW, it didn't really. we know.
Well, WWECW was on its last dying legs anyway.
Yeah, but it was over.
It popped it
was
a rating done. Because the McMahons draw, whether we like it or not, they draw.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. And that's just generational interest because when a McMahon comes on the television screen, it's important.
Of course.
Project is important. And I think that's what Fox is doing. And we're going to find out with this Fox television deal how much influence a network really has.
Yeah.
Because for years, USA has had certain influences as far as productions, and from all indications, they were the ones who suggested the Raw reunion show where in Tampa, where it was Hogan and Flair and Austin and all that stuff, and that did a good rating. So these TV network executives at Fox are going to have input. I think Brock Lesnar is one of their inputs.
Yeah, I'd say so too.
And I think one of their other inputs is going to be Michael Cole and Corey Graves doing commentary. And thank goodness it's a two-man booth. Rumor and innuendo.
Yeah, three is way too much. And it, you know, even SmackDown does have the three-man booth too. And you just – like I even talked about it with the AEW show a few weeks ago, the one you were at in Chicago, mm-hmm. I was talking to you about the commentary, Jimmy, where, you know, I had a hard time figuring out who was doing the play-by-play. I had a hard time identifying that. But you can tell with two distinctive, for the most part, Cole and Graves, you can tell who's talking and when. That's a big difference right there instead of everyone tackling on top of each other with a three-man booth.
Yeah, it. So I've always been a fan of the two-man booth.
Yep.
You just, to add that third man in there, you just have to pick your spots and understand what kind of story that you're telling there. Well, so like when Mike Tenay was added to the Nitro cast to talk about Ultimo Dragon or Dean Malenko or Rey Mysterio or Conan, you know, somebody who we weren't really that familiar with, it was an add value to it.
Right.
But you should be able to, with Cole and Graves, be able to get your stories across, especially with us knowing, generally speaking, the history of WWE.
Of course. And I think that the greatest three-man booth of all time, Vince McMahon, Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler. Just fantastic.
I won't fight you on that. I think if Kurt Hennig had a little bit longer tenure as a third man in there, it would have been pretty good.
Yeah. Well, it was Vince, Kurt Hennig, and the Macho Man?
The one I'm referring to is what would have been, it was Hennig, Ross, and Vince. And it was, they did a handful of pay-per-views together, but they were supposed to do Survivor Series 96. Was the one where it was Austin, Brett, Mankind, Undertaker, Sid wins the championship from Michaels.
Right.
Rocky Maivia debuts. Mm-hmm. And Kurt Hennig walked out of the company because he wanted to go work for WCW and thought it was as simple as just walking through the door and, hey, here's a contract. No. All this legal stuff.
Yeah, he was an underrated commentator. Very underrated, Mr. Perfect.
He was good, and he was trying to be Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, and he was kind of like a five-tool player when you think about it. You know, just I know we're going off the rails here a little bit, Mr. Perfect, but think about that. Commentator, we just talked about right there. Good in-ring performer. And I thought he did a great job as the official of WrestleMania 10 with Lex Luger and Yokozuna there in that match. He could do pretty much anything. A good 5-2 player, whatever you needed out of him, he gave you the best. That's why he was Mr. Perfect.
The tagline should have been, that's why he was absolutely perfect.
Perfect. Yes.
Timing, Mike. Timing.
Throw that towel
You're still a young kid. I get it.
It's good.
Speaking of somebody who's been kind of close to perfect and a generational wrestler, try to do it in English, James.
Nice segue, though.
A generational he tried, but he failed like he usually does. I put this out on Twitter, and this was sparked by a conversation I was having with my friend Elliot from Boston, the caller Celtics at 7.
Great guy.
Bray Wyatt needs to win the Universal Championship, and he needs to win it at Hell in a Cell, and here's why. Bray Wyatt is the most interesting performer the WWE has right now. You never know when he's going to appear, and you don't know who he's going to attack. He's one of the few surprises left in WWE, and specifically maybe pro wrestling. Bray has this very unique character, and he also has this buzz of a performer who should be higher on the card than he is. I always go back to WrestleMania 31 in San Francisco when myself, amongst many of the smarter internet fans, thought that he should have beaten The Undertaker. He didn't. He, of course, lost to The Undertaker in a match that he pretty much promoted himself because it's The Undertaker, right?
Yeah, well.
And he just kind of shows up, does the match, wins, and goes home or loses or whatever.
It was also a year after the undefeated loss, too. Let's not
to Brock Lesnar. It's interesting because they're in the same building the year after. Never mind. I don't want to get too far.
I get it. Yeah.
And then the next year, when in Dallas at WrestleMania 32, he comes out to confront The Rock. We all went nuts for it. We were among the 100,000 people there, and we wanted to see The Rock take on Bray Wyatt. And The Rock did a promo putting over Bray Wyatt, and the crowd was there for it. That match obviously didn't happen, but the fans wanted something big for Bray Wyatt because it's an interesting and unique character. WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, he walked in as the WWE champion against Randy Orton in a match that we all want to forget about because they were thinking too much and they were trying to be too creative, and the worms on the screen just didn't play for the live crowd.
And I'll bet you a lot of people up until this very moment, I don't know, if you remember, God love you, but I'll bet you quite a few forgot that Bray Wyatt was a champion going into WrestleMania 33.
And I bet you they forgot that Randy Orton won the title that night as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was buried in amongst, Bray is one of the more interesting, and I feel like, overperformers in the WWE. But he's supposed to be evil. Which kind of leads to the question of who is WWE booking for? Are they booking for kids? Or are they booking for the actual demographic that's watching, which feels like it's 35 plus? And we spend a lot of money on the product. I know from my travels, I seem to see the same people whenever I travel to these wrestling shows, as I'm sure you do too, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
And at some point, everyone's credit card bill comes due.
Just for the record, just finished paying off my WrestleMania 35 weekend.
But, there you go. Good job.
Excuse me.
So are you going to go all the way with Bray Wyatt as you're trying to book for the people who are paying your bills? Or are you still going for the heroes conquer in Seth Rollins? So that's why I think Bray Wyatt should win the Universal Championship, Mike.
At the Hell in the Cell.
At the Hell in the Cell.
Okay. So, yeah, we're 2 weeks out from that, 3 weeks, whatever. I think that's good. Strike while the iron is hot sort of approach, because he is the most intriguing character on the roster right now. And every time he does come out, I mean, he went after Mick Foley. He went after Kane.
Jerry Lawler.
Yep. So... I think that's kind of a little angle they're doing here. Maybe bring on another legend.
It's an accelerated legend killer gimmick like Randy Orton did all those years ago.
Essentially. And you know, I think it would have been great if he had done something to Austin or The Undertaker when they were on the run SmackDown a couple of weeks ago at Madison Square Garden. But that's gone now. But I think it's a good thing to where he's at. And he definitely has... You know, like I said, the intrigue there, people are invested in the character. What does Seth Rollins do for people as a champion? What does he do? Like, he has just been, we've talked about him before. He's done everything asked of him. He's a great in-ring competitor, but there's something there that doesn't connect with the fans as a champion. It just something doesn't do it. And I would be more than fine if the Fiend / Bray Wyatt were to be the Universal Champion as soon as the Hell in the Cell, because you can't let that, the minute he does lose to Seth Wyatt, Seth Rollins, the minute he loses to Seth Rollins, that's a blown opportunity right there where you have the option of having a rematch. But if you don't have the rematch, then you watch this character kind of become irrelevant, where we've seen it happen before with Bray Wyatt. He had a fairly good thing going with the Wyatt family and so forth, and then his character was absolutely buried. So strike while the iron is hot. Use that momentum on your side. Put the Universal title around him expeditiously.
So the fear there is he becomes Lacey Evans, except Lacey is a rookie. The hole in that is Lacey is a rookie. Bray's been around the block for a while, and presumably Bray could recover from it.
Yeah.
But here's why Bray Wyatt won't beat Seth Rollins, as I see it right now. Seth Rollins is being booked like Hulk Hogan. It's just at a different TV pace. Seth wins at WrestleMania 35 in New York. He beats Brock Lesnar. He beats AJ Styles clean in the middle in Hartford, but Brock Lesnar wins the case. He fends off the Brock Lesnar cash-in attempts. He fights and beats Corbin, who had a really good...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Good resume paper buildup. And he only loses the championship because he's exhausted all of his energy and anger because in a mixed tag team match, Baron Corbin spiked Becky Lynch with his finisher. So fast forward to SummerSlam, he beats Brock Lesnar clean in the middle in one of the better Brock Lesnar matches in the last few years. And now he's going against this evil villain who has some buzz. Think of everyone that Hogan and Cena had lined up just to knock down. This is traditional Vince McMahon, WWF, WWE booking. Paul Orndorff, John Studd, King Kong Bundy, Andre the Giant, the Big Boss Man, Akeem. For Cena, it was Michaels, Triple H, Randy Orton, Edge, CM Punk, Umaga, Big Show. This is the Vince McMahon, WWF model. Here's the big difference and why it isn't working as well as it should be for Seth Rollins and I think to a degree Kofi Kingston. But I think Seth Rollins more than Kofi Kingston. Hulk Hogan, John Cena could talk him in. Seth Rollins, five-star wrestler, amazing elite level in-ring performer. But Hogan and Cena were the promos, and that's where the emotion comes from. The promos. And Seth just isn't that emotionally invest promo.
Hit the nail on the head, Jimmy, and that's what I just said too. He doesn't connect with the fans. Something is missing there. Like there are fans of Seth Rollins, and if you're a fan of him, that's great. Good for you. I mean, I like Seth Rollins, but I don't. He's not one of my all-time favorite superstars. The guys you just named right there are giants in the industry. When it's all said and done, if you were to ask me at this very moment, will Seth Rollins be one of those giants in the industry? No, he probably won't even be in my top 20. But he's, you know, he's good. He's not a top 20 guy of all time if you're going to ask me something like that. No.
And so this is the example that I came up with when I was kind of putting this together. Justin Credible was an ECW performer. People may remember him in WWF as Aldo Montoya. He went to ECW, became Justin Credible. And when he was in the lower part of the card, he stood out. He had excellent matches. He had matches with Mikey Whipwreck, most notably. He did the Singapore Kane thing. He wore jorts. Mm-hmm. He had a good catchphrase. And then they moved him into the championship pitcher. And he beat Tommy Dreamer the night that Tommy Dreamer beat Taz, who earlier in the week had beat Mike Awesome because Mike Awesome went to WCW. Then it became Justin Credible's now in the main event. And he's doing the same type of match that's in the opener, but the guys who are working before him are doing better matches than he can do.
Right.
And so his promo is kind of eh, and his match quality is good, but we've seen better before. And I think to a degree that Seth Rollins might be in that category is that he's not leaving you with, you know, he's not leaving you with that impactful moment.
No.
Although at WrestleMania, he won the Universal Championship to open the show, which was super cool. And he got the best match out of Brock Lesnar. But that AJ Styles match, I went back and watched that independent of the emotion of seeing Bayley cash in on Charlotte. And it was a really good match, but it got lost in the moment. And I think we talked about at the time, one of the things that lacked from that match was who's the bad guy, Seth Rollins or AJ Styles? And I think whether we as fans, spectators, whatever it is that we are as wrestling fans, we still need that emotional value to fully invest And that's why we were so behind Hulk Hogan's comeback as a child.
Exactly. Because
the training, the prayers, the vitamins, brother, and boy, did he take a lot of vitamins.
Oh, yeah. Whether they were legal or not.
And I think being that I'm 38 years old, I find the villains so much more interesting because they have depth. They have good promos to work off of.
Right.
And, you know, we're living in an era right now, Mike, where if you want to use the star scale, right, we're seeing so much good in-ring quality that it's watering down. Like, so if AJ and Seth is a, quote, five-star match, we've probably seen 3-4-star matches before it. So I remember, we'll use Money in the Bank as an example here. The pre-show had the Usos against Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan.
That was a
fabulous match.
Yeah, but nobody remembers that.
But nobody remembers it. One, because it's on the pre-show, and two, it's the opening match. Mm-hmm. And we're not supposed to remember it. I don't think. But because the match quality is so high right now, we don't remember the 4-star matches. We only remember the 5-star matches, and sometimes we don't remember the 5-star matches because WWE is a babyface moment company.
Well, Jimmy, to your point on that with the pre-show, look at last week at the Clash of the Champions, AJ Styles, Cedric Alexander, solid match, United States Championship.
Good 5 minutes.
Good 5 minutes. And, you know, that's a prestigious title. It's a United States Championship. You had the Usos there for the Tag Team Championship. Why is that not on your main pay-per-view? And it goes back to what we talked about last week about having pay-per-views having their own brand, not the multi-brand, because there's too much out there right now. It's too much in our face, and you're not able to appreciate it. So I think you have to cut it down a little bit for us to really remember that specific moment there. And yes, when you mentioned Seth Rollins, again, the first thing that comes to my mind there, winning the championship WrestleMania 35, open the show. I'll never, ever forget that, and nobody ever will. That was the opening match at Mania 35 where Seth Rollins won the title. And that's what they're trying to do, make a splash there. And to go back to what we originally said, that's what they're trying to do here at SmackDown on the first one of Fox, make a splash with Brock and Kofi.
And maybe WrestleMania 35 is the example that I should use more to support my point about how we're just we're living in the era of quote unquote in-ring work rate, right? And I hate using that term because it's just not something that I do. But here, let's go down WrestleMania 35 real quick, right? Tony Nese, Buddy Murphy, excellent match, pre-show match. Carmelo won the Battle Royal. Don't remember it. Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder won the tag team titles. Kind of remember it. Braun Strowman won the Battle Royal, the men's Battle Royal. Kind of don't remember it. Rollins versus Brock, moment, remember it. AJ versus Randy Orton, good match. Usos, four-way. Yeah, we're into the main show now. Rollins wins the Universal title, remember it. AJ Styles, Randy Orton, super match. Usos in a four-way, super match. Shane McMahon and The Miz, super good match.
Solid.
The Iconics winning the women's tag team title, doesn't ring any bells. Kofi versus Daniel Bryan, match of the night, no question about it.
Maybe match of the year.
Joe versus Rey Mysterio was a quickie because it had to be because they were both kind of hurt. Roman and Drew McIntyre dragged. Triple H and Batista dragged. Orton beating Kurt Angle, we remember because he keeps reminding us. The Demon beating Bobby Lashley for the IC title. I remember it because Finn Balor won. And then the main event was the women's match where they screwed up the finish. Mm-hmm. And we got Becky Two Bugs.
Yep.
But that's right a case that, where I just ran off like 5 matches that were really good.
Yeah, and then 5 that people didn't care about.
Right. So,
and definitely 4 in the pre-show, no one remembers.
And by the time you got to the main event of Becky, Ronda, and Charlotte, which I went back and I watched independently, and other than the finish, it was a really good match. But that's what you kind of have to do now sometimes, it feels like.
Right. And the crowd was just so, you know, going into that, it was a tiresome crowd going on at midnight there, which was insane. I hope they never, ever, ever do that again.
So it's punishment to the fans. So all of this, getting back to my point, is I think Bray Wyatt needs to win the Universal Championship, but he won't, because Seth Rollins, they're trying to book like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, but you know what, Jimmy? I think you could. I think he will. I really do.
Because you think Bray's going to win the title?
Well, the reason why, to piggyback on your point of them booking him as Hulk Hogan, that gives Seth Rollins another rival. Because what is he known as right now as an individual champion? What's he known as his independent or individual rival? Who's he known as beating?
The Beast Slayer, the Monster Slayer.
Okay, so Brock Lesnar is going to SmackDown, presumably, all right? This is an opportunity. If you are going to have Bray Wyatt win the Universal title at the Hell in a Cell, perfect scenario, I think he's going to do it. And then you have a rival set up right there. Fiend, Rollins for a few months, have him chase him. That would be good. And I think they're going to do it. I really do. I think they're going to come to their senses, and the Fiend will beat Rollins at the Hell in the Cell.
Do you know, in my mind, the finish is done. It's Rollins beats him because the lights go out, and here's Demon Balor.
At the Hell in the Cell?
Yeah.
So, like,
and then you get the Fiend versus the Demon, because
I don't want that.
The
yet.
Fiend ran off Finn Balor, so Finn Balor has to go to his alter ego.
But that's too early for that right now.
Everything is too early. There's no build for anything.
We still need more of the Fiend. So that maybe it's my wishful thinking why I'm saying he's going to win against Seth Rollins, he being the Fiend. But I listen, Finn Balor, great comeback as a Demon, but too early. Wait it out. A little longer.
Nope. They don't work that way. They don't work that way. We're an accelerated pace in the world right now.
Just please build it up. Give us more time with Rollins and the Fiend. Scare him away.
Hey, I'd love to see it. I'm Team Bray Wyatt. Team, give him the title, but I don't think they'll do it.
Yeah, it's a brilliant character. People are very intrigued.
Yes. The 35 plus are. The kids should be scared, but.
Oh, yeah, be hiding under the covers. Like, you know, when I was a kid, at very early stages of The Undertaker, scared of him in the early days.
There's a great, if you remember Survivor Series when he debuted, the gongs, and they showed the crowd, and the crowds are like, what is this?
Yes. Yep.
It was good stuff.
So, it was awesome.
So next week, Mike, I'm really excited this. We're going to add Joe Murray, and we're going to do a draft. So Raw and SmackDown are doing a draft for Fox, and they're going to have hard rosters now. No wild card, no jumping show to show. We'll see how long that lasts.
Thank God.
But they're going to have hard and firm rosters. So I'm still trying to work out the details of how the rules are going to go, but we'll each cycle through the picks. I think we'll get 7 picks, and this, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10 picks. I just say 7 because it's the number that came to head. And these are the 5 to 10 people, 7 people that we're going to build our show around. Yep. And we'll draft them. And it's anybody who is under WWE contract is eligible to be drafted.
Yep.
And those are the rules. So, for example, and I'll re-go through this next week. If you draft Brock Lesnar, you get Paul Heyman. So Brock and Paul are a package. If you draft Seth Rollins, you get Seth Rollins. That's your pick. If you draft Adam Cole, that comes with the Undisputed Era. So that counts. Right. That's one pick. You get 4 competitors. And that's how we'll do it.
I love it. I love it. And maybe we'll have some interesting things this week via the social media on the @WrestleCast account, @WrestleCast95 account, with the draft, how you would have your draft, to the listeners. So be on the lookout for that, too.
Yeah, we can. If you're listening out there, and you are, because you're listening to this podcast, you idiot. Why would you say that, James?
Well,
idiot.
It's
that's
nice
such a radio clutch. That's annoying.
Yeah, but it's nice to remind yourself that people are listening, so thank you.
I know. I see the download numbers. They're good. Thank you.
Yes, they're very good. Thank you, folks.
Who would your first pick be? That's a question we'll put out on the WrestleCast Twitter account.
Let's do it.
You can draft anybody who's under WWE contract. Who are you drafting?
And that goes for all the brands.
That's every brand, because they have however many people under contract. You can pick one guy, and that's the face of your franchise. And that's what we'll do. That's what we'll do on the WrestleCast Twitter account.
And that's how we're basing it, that this is a new franchise, more or less. Or, yeah, okay.
Yep.
Not a specific show. Okay.
Yep, 100%.
All right, let's rock and roll.
All right, so we'll do that next week. That's a fun little tease preview thing. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. From Michael Riley.
What are you, my mom?
For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. And we'll draft next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.